Our special guest today has been called the Guru of Joy, who has brought a lot of happiness in Boston. Let us meet one of the most well-known spiritual leaders in the world, Shri Shri Ravi Shankar.
Namaste. Guruji, thank you so much for coming on the show. You have received such a warm welcome in Boston, and this is the largest meditation workshop in Northeast America. And a lot of 50% of people are first time meditating with you. So how does that feel?
You know, I feel connected to people everywhere in the world. I haven't once felt I'm meeting someone who's a stranger.
Okay. So how did you get the idea of this happiness tour? You are doing this tour in eight cities in the United States. How did you get that idea?
You know, we have renamed our program, the Art of Living Course, as Happiness Program.
Okay.
Because it has brought so much happiness in people in the last 35 years. So we thought today the need or the run of everyone is happiness.
True.
And so happiness program, you know, people easily connect to it. They understand it.
So what are some of your best lessons for people in Boston and around the world?
I would say, you know, life offers you many lessons. Just be open to it and learn well. Don't miss any opportunity to learn and unlearn also. Mm-hmm. In life, we need to unlearn some things.
True.
And we need to learn something.
True. Now, you have a presence at this time in over 150 countries in the world. How do you think the audience is different in different countries? Say, for example, in India and in the United States.
You know, people, in one sense, they're all different. The culture is different, language is different,
yes.
Mindset is different.
Uh-huh.
On another level,
uh-huh. There
is one common line that's running across the humanity.
Uh-huh.
The values that is there in every human being or around the globe,
uh-huh. You
find that it's the same thing. So we are different and at the same time we are all same.
True. One of the interviews that I really liked is also the way you describe how people are different in different countries and how you can learn from them. Like in Japan, you said about the team spirit.
Team spirit,
yes.
In Japan.
Right.
Precision in Germany.
Yes.
And
right.
Marketing.
United States.
Nothing can beat United States.
That is true.
So, and human values, India.
Absolutely. The spirituality from India.
Spirituality, the human values, compassion.
Okay. So talking of different countries, that brings me to my next question. So you started the Art of Living in 1981, and it is the world's largest volunteer-based NGO at this time. So you had a great concept, but it has also been marketed very beautifully. So you're a spiritual guru, but in some words, you're also one of the world's fantastic entrepreneurs. So how did you, in this country especially, you know, how do you bring these two worlds so well together?
You know, to tell you the truth, I never thought of marketing.
Yes.
It is the impact or effectiveness of the program.
Yes, that is true.
That through word of mouth,
yes,
kept spreading.
Yes.
And so people from different countries, they came and participated, and they wanted to take it back to their country. Because everyone wants, if they are happy, if one is happy, they want to see people around them also happy. And that's how it has just caught.
Yes, and that's why it's volunteer-based. So that is wonderful. So what are your earliest recollections of meditation? What age? And also tell us something about Sudarshan Kriya.
See, there is a rhythm in the nature. And there is a rhythm in the body. You as a doctor, you know,
yes,
there's a biorhythm.
Yes.
If 40 years ago, 50 years ago, someone would have said, you know, just by putting your thumb on your cell phone, you can open this thumb.
Right.
People would not believe.
Right.
They would think this as some voodoo or magic sort of thing.
Right.
But today, we know that there is a biorhythm. Each one of us carry a specific type of energy, bioenergy. And in the same way, in the mind there is a rhythm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The thought pattern reoccurs in some cyclic manner. Similarly, there is an emotional pattern also. So Sudarshan creates something that brings harmony between all different layers of our existence, mm-hmm. our consciousness. Mm-hmm. It just takes a couple of days to learn. Before that, the preparatory, as a preparatory thing for this is pranayama, breathing exercise. Okay. You do breathing exercise, pranayama, then you learn Sudarshan.
So as a physician, of course, we see that meditation, there's a lot of studies done now that meditation really decreases your stress levels, the cortisol levels go down, your immunity gets better. What are some of the advantages or best advantages do you think meditation offers?
You know, how it does is the job of doctors and researchers.
Right.
And how to do it is our job. We tell her what is the right way to do it. And we see how it has benefited, and I've seen millions around the world have been benefited.
Mm-hmm.
But how this benefit is coming, that's for, I leave it for the scientists to do research on it.
There's some wonderful research. There is also a recent study that it actually helps regenerate the gray cells in your brain.
Correct.
Fantastic.
Correct.
So,
and we have seen this happen.
Right.
You know, people when they meditate, they don't go senile. Their alertness is very much there, and the aging process reduces.
Okay. So the country now looks up to you as a guru, but you had some wonderful gurus yourself, Shri Thakur Chaturvedi and Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. What are some of the best lessons that you learned from them?
I would say, you know, just being in the energy field of a master itself is a great thing. The second thing is, in my younger days, I was with all elderly people.
Right, right.
And now I'm getting old, I'm with all young people around me.
You said you're a child at heart,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So how
you know, the masters in the past, they used to be very tough.
Uh-huh.
They used to give you tough, tough tasks. Yes. Taskmasters.
Like what?
Yeah. There could be many, many tough tasks, you know.
Uh-huh.
So you had to move through the tough tasks.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately, you understand, you need to come to the point that there is one consciousness that governs everything.
Okay.
And everything is made up of just that one thing.
Mm-hmm. How do you keep that childlike innocence inside you? Yeah. When the world sometimes...
Well, I haven't made any effort for that. That's how I am.
Uh-huh.
That's how I am, have been all the time. And I don't make any effort in that direction at all.
Mm-hmm.
Simple thing. Purity in heart, clarity in mind, and sincerity in action.
Mm, that is thank you. Now, you have also founded the International Association of Human Values, the charity in Geneva, 1997. If you could tell the viewers a little bit more about that, how could they be a part of that?
You know, there are two aspects. One is to develop yourself, to attend to your health, your mind and your level of happiness and spreading happiness. This is all what we do in the Art of Living Foundation.
Okay.
We have 57 different type of programs, right from prisoners to from children to everybody, you know. For kids we have programs, how they can be more compassionate, how they can learn more, how can they can be more alert, and how they can be more intuitive. And then we have team building work for corporate sector. And so we have designed many different programs for all age groups.
Okay.
In that. Of course, Sudarshan Kriya is part of this.
Okay.
And many other techniques also of meditation teach along, healings and these. And for service activities, we started Art of Living as a sister concern, IAHV, International Association for Human Value. This association takes care of health, hygiene, human values, harmony in diversity, interculture programs, and then disaster management.
Okay.
And then relief work whenever there is a disaster. Art of Living is one of the organizations that goes first there and caters to the need of the people. So we made these two different organizations. One purely for service activity, another for development, self-development, and spreading happiness and spirituality.
That is so wonderful. Now, you've been called the guru of joy and peace, right? And you have supported, you know, you've done so many wonderful things and taken a stand. You've supported for the equal right for gays, gender equality. Were you raised with these values as a child? What was your childhood like? Or it's something that you have learned, observed, taught and fought for?
No, these values we have learned as children. You know? We have always said that. This is the beauty in Vedanta. Vedanta, the knowledge, spirituality says it's the same being in everybody. And there is no room for any discrimination of any sort at all. Rich, poor, intelligent, or foolish, or, you know, man, woman. There is no room for it. And so we are raised with these values.
And in a world that is so turbulent, how do you think that we can make it a better place as an individual?
I would leave this question with the audience. They should keep thinking about it. What
I
can contribute, what I can do to better the world. You know, this very thought is does not have a single answer. It's like the path. So a question has only one answer. But a wonder, a different question like this could be a wonder. And this has, this is like a path on which someone can tread many a times. So this question, we should keep it alive. And time to time, when we sincerely think about it, you get the answers and we should implement those. So there is not just one way. But when our mission is to make the world a better place, there could be a million ways.
Now, I'm coming to a part which is, we call the rapid response, okay? So, and I'll ask you some of your favorites. What is your favorite book? I have a little idea about that.
I don't want to be partial about it.
You did say Yoga Vasishtha somewhere, right?
Yeah, Gita is there, Yoga Vasishtha is there. All this knowledge, beautiful knowledge is there. When I read something, that moment, that is favorite.
That is your favorite. Okay, I like that. What is your most fun thing to do?
Life itself is fun.
Okay. Now, if you had time to spend 1 hour with anyone in the world, who would that be?
Myself.
We guessed that. Your students know you well. They guessed it. Okay. Now,
and in my, I see myself in everybody. So anyone around me, it doesn't matter to me. I feel I'm with myself.
Okay. Now, if you could finish this sentence for me, fame is
just a means to reach out.
Okay. Money is
again a necessity to bring comfort to those who need it.
Okay. Relationships are
to be honored.
What is your biggest strength?
Strength is divinity.
Okay. And what is your biggest weakness, you think?
Not getting upset very soon.
Is that
not
a
getting
strength?
Angry, yes.
That is a weakness we all want. And if you could go back in life and do something differently, something just go back and...
You know, by the way, we are in Boston. I wanted to mention one thing. You know, our first prison program in United States. We started in Boston.
Oh, really?
Way back, it must in 90s.
Okay.
In early 90s, one of our teachers said, you know, he was an ex-convict. He came out of the prison.
Okay.
And then he got so much benefit out of this program. That he had a passion. He said, I want to go back and teach those in that state. Okay. I said, okay, go ahead. So he somehow went to the prison authorities. Reluctantly, they gave about 9 inmates and gave a small room and asked them to do a pilot program.
Okay.
So the pilot program that started here in Boston for United States really took off very well because people found the benefits that these inmates got out of it. They became much more calmer, less violent. And after that, then we took this program throughout the United States. Today, around the world, there are 500,000 people who have benefited by these meditation programs.
I wish we could introduce, or I wish when I was growing up in India, we had that introduced in schools, like they do in some of the schools now. I think it is so important, especially in this country.
Everywhere. See, neither at home nor in school, we are taught how to manage our emotions.
No, we are not. Even in medical school, we are not.
We are told to get rage and anger.
Right.
They just react instead of just trying to managing that emotion, negative emotions. This is where exactly yoga, meditation, this would be very, very, very useful. And I feel it's mandatory now today. Looking at the rise of aggression in people.
Right.
See what happened recently here and all. It's very painful.
Yes. And even as a physician who trained in India and practices in the United States, what I feel that we are so good at treating patients, but we don't know how to heal them. And that healing comes
from meditation.
I totally agree with you. So thank you so much. We look forward to more programs from you in the coming years. Thank you.
Thank you.